Psalm 40, it's actually part two. Gave you a week off last week. Hope you had a chance to read through Psalm 40 this week. If not, we will read through it here just shortly. Last time we opened up this psalm, we were talking about how to wait patiently on God. Something that's very hard to do. We live in a culture that's not very patient. Most of us are not patient people. We are part of that culture. And unfortunately, sometimes we are impatient with God. We want to pray, tell Him what to do, and have it done by lunchtime so we can move on to the next thing. God does not work off a bucket list, we discovered. And tonight we'll look at having ears to hear. If you've been here on Sunday evenings, you've heard Josh going through Revelation. You hear it all through the Gospels. You hear it all through Revelation. Statements referring to ears. Let him who has ears hear. And you think, you look around the room, everyone's got ears. What does that mean? We all got ears and we all should hear, right? It's not really a call for everybody. It's a call for those who really believe. Those are true believers. A call to the church. And not saying everyone who gathers together in the church building, but all who are the true church, who are truly saved, who have their ears open, as we'll see in this psalm. Pay attention to it as we read this psalm and see how David talks about his ears being open as we read that, and that's what we'll be looking at tonight. So read with me this great Psalm 40 to the chief musician, a psalm of David. Verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are toward us. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare them and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. There's the statement. Burnt offerings and sin offerings hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, my God. Yea, thy law is written within my heart. And I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me, for innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs on my head, therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me, O Lord. Make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame, that they say unto me, aha, aha. Let all those who seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord is magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet my Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. What a beautiful psalm. What a picture of God we have in this great psalm. If you would join me in prayer as we commit our hearts to look at having our ears open as the psalmist did. Father God, we praise you for another Wednesday evening. And God, we know from what we've read in Scripture, you do not work off a bucket list. You are the God of all things, the sovereign God whose plan was before the creation of anything. And Lord, we acknowledge that and we pray that our hearts would be submitted to you in obedience to your truth from your word, and that it would show up in the way that we live our lives, that your word would penetrate our hearts tonight, changing us forever, making us more like you and less like us. And may you be glorified with our obedience. Lord, grant us knowledge and wisdom tonight that we might have understanding of your word and that it might be hidden in our hearts and keep us from sin. We bless your name. In the name of Jesus, amen. What a great psalm. And as we look at this verse 6, as we jump straight into what we're going to be talking about tonight, without hesitation, we look at the sacrifice and the offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. He's speaking to God, and God opened his ears. It literally means dug, like he dug them out, almost like cleaning out your ears, as if they were full of wax or something that had them plugged that you could not hear. Some translations you have out there say pierced. I've looked at all of them. It can mean pierced in some applications. And some of the older commentators even used this to preach sermons talking about the slave mentioned back in Exodus, where a slave would be granted his freedom but had a master that was so wonderful he wanted to stay, and he would have his ear pierced, proclaiming his obedience to this man. And it kind of plays the same idea of obedience, but the only problem is this is plural. When a slave would get his ear pierced, it was only one ear. And he's opened his ears. It very much means dug. It dug out, cleaned out, so that I can hear. So what does it mean to have your ears open? And in this case, what does it mean to have your ears opened by God, as David proclaims? And why is it important that God open our ears? Questions that we need to answer. And questions that I'm glad you asked, because in John 10, verse 24, we find a very quick answer to that question of why it's important that our ears be open, that we hear God, that he do the opening. Jesus says in this great gospel of John, in verse 24 of chapter 10, he says the Jews gathered around him before he began to speak. And they say, if you are the Christ, tell us. Verse 25 begins his speech back to them. And his answer, he says, Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they testify of me. But you do not believe because you're not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, that they will never perish, and no one will ever snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who is in heaven, has given them to me, and is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So the answer to the question is, why is it important that our ears be opened by God, is that means you're on your way to heaven. It means you have eternal life. If your ears are open, you hear his voice, and he knows you. Very plainly played out in the Gospels. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. Why? Because he dug them out. He cleaned them out, is what we're talking about here. He opened your ears to hear. The understanding that comes from God to the children of God, so that they hear his voice, have understanding, and it says they follow me. There's obedience. The same thing that plays out in the psalm. We see knowledge or understanding, and we see obedience. Two things that we'll look at. That's a theme all through Scripture, but all about this opening of the ears that we'll be talking about. And noticing that it is God's sovereign hand that opens the ears of all who understand the gospel. Those who do not have their ears open, do not understand, and find it to be foolishness. They do not have their ears open to the understanding of the gospel. They either were rejected altogether, or they'll change it to fit whatever their heart desires so that they have a different gospel, which is not a gospel. Jesus explained it to his disciples after his resurrection and just before his ascension at the end of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. He said, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And verse 45, he's not speaking anymore, but it tells what happens. He takes action. And Jesus said, it says, that here's what he did. He opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. Same concept. Open their ears. Open their minds that they understand the Scriptures. And then he said unto them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things." The Great Commission. God opened their ears so they would understand the Great Commission and understand everything that had happened. Is like, aha, now we know. Not because of anything that they did, but because of God opening their minds to understand. Just as he's done all in here, all who are, have ever believed, it is God who opened up your mind to that understanding. David declares that in this psalm, in verse 6, that he's opened his ears. And we see the two things still playing out in this psalm: understanding and obedience. And the idea here, and coming from someone who has a hearing problem like I do, it's not that I can't hear, I can't understand. I can hear stuff, but it sounds really strange. And someone might say something to me or ask me a question, and I answer yes. And they may have been asking me what my name was, and yes didn't apply to that. And it's embarrassing and it's wrong. It's the wrong answer. And because I can't hear, I don't understand what's being said, therefore I can't respond. It's the idea behind a lost person. They can't hear God. They don't understand the Word of God. So they might be asking their name. They say yes. It's that far off until God brings the understanding. And then the obedience that follows. In Isaiah 50, we read that the Lord has given me the tongue. It's what the prophet proclaimed. It's all through Scripture. And it's interesting to do a study about this. The Lord has given me the tongue of disciples that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. And verse 5 of Isaiah 50 says, "The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back." The prophet is proclaiming that God opened his ears to understand, and because of this understanding which opened his ears, he was not disobedient. Therefore, he obeyed, and he persisted. It could be that David had the oldest book in the Bible, Job, in his mind whenever he was writing down this scripture. And you read this with me, or I'll read it to you from Job chapter 33, verse 16. Job declares that he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction, that he may turn man aside from his conduct and keep him from pride. He keeps back his soul from the pit, and his life from passing over into Sheol. Job says, it's God who opened my ears to understand, to obedience, and seals the instruction. And if you'll notice that it's the opening of the ears in Job that keeps the man out of the pit. Our psalmist David says it's the opening of the ears. He lifted him out of the pit. Don't know for certain, but it's almost too coincidental that he might have had that scripture in his mind when he wrote this, that picture of God proclaimed by Job. In Job 36, we see another picture. We see some that hear and some that don't hear here. Not just opening to hear, but there's two groups of people, those who hear and those who don't. Job 36:10 says, "God opens their ear to instruction and commands that they return from evil if they hear and serve him." We sung that song. The greatest thing in all my life is to love, know, and serve. The obedient part of it. He says, if they hear and serve him, they will end their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. Verse 12 of Job 36 says, "But if they do not hear, they shall perish by the sword, and they will die without knowledge." It goes on to say that the godless in heart lay up anger. They do not cry for help when he binds them. They die in youth, and their lives perish among the cult prostitutes. He delivers the afflicted in their afflictions. He opens their ear in time of oppression. God opens the ears, gives understanding. In verse 11, if they hear him, they will end their days in prosperity. And in verse 12, those who do not hear are the godless or the lost person headed for eternal destruction, and they perish and die without knowledge because God doesn't grant them hearing and understanding. And that hearing and understanding that brings obedience. We are a people who like to take credit for our salvation, and we like to take credit for what we know. Look what I know. If we know anything, it's given by God. If we know anything of God, it's because God has granted us the knowledge to have. Whose word is this? It's His word. And without His understanding, we don't understand it. But we've given His word, we're given His understanding to understand the word. And every time God's word is proclaimed, it changes all who hear. It changes everyone. It changes those who have ears to hear. It causes us to grow. It causes us to be impacted. It causes us to change, to consider God, and to grow in our knowledge of Him, and to grow in grace, and to be more like Him. And it changes us. It changes those who do not hear, who reject it, because they become more callous than they were before, more distant from God, more rebellious when the Word of God is proclaimed to them. No one ever remains the same and unaffected by the Word of God. Those who react with indifference and callous hearts are just as changed as those who are hearing the Word of God and changed to be more like Christ. All through Scripture, Jesus proclaimed, as we mentioned in Revelation, and even in the Gospels, "He who has ears, let him hear." Which means, basically, in plain English, that everyone who understands, who has this understanding that's given by God, that everyone who has it, hear what's being said and obey what's being said. And that's what we see in this psalm. Look back at verse 6. "Sacrifice and offering thou did not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings hast thou not required." It's a lot of words. Basically what David is saying here is that God, you've given me understanding, that I know that it's not about doing things, even giving sacrifices just to be doing something. But it's about doing things with the right heart. It's not about giving sacrifices just to give a sacrifice. It's about being repentant for my sin when I'm giving the sacrifice. And that understanding comes from God, and He gives God credit for it. God also gives David understanding of the Scriptures and the prophecy of Himself and of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, it says, "Then I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me." God gave David understanding of the promised Messiah that would come from the line of David. And David had understanding of that now. And verse 8 says, this is where the understanding leads to obedience. "I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is written within my heart." This understanding that God gives brings obedience as it did to David. It brought him to obedience so that now he desires or delights in obedience to God, to do the will of God. And it was not burdensome for him. He delighted in it because he had understanding and a new heart. He even talks about the new song in this, that God's given him a new song in his heart. And now having a new song and understanding, he delights to do the will of God. This is the picture that we should hold ourselves up to when we begin to present ourselves as examining ourselves to see if we're saved. Do you delight to do the will of God? Nothing you could do on your own. It's what God gives you, and He gives you understanding, leads you to obedience, to delight in who He is. Do you delight in God and doing His will? That should be the first thing when we begin to kneel down and pray and say, examine me, God, to see if I'm truly in the faith. Is this who I am? Because if it's not, there may be a problem. There is a problem. All who are children of God are transformed, having their ears open to understanding. And every true believer is changed and continues to be changed, with a heart that now delights to do the will of God in obedience. Look how David's obedience continues. Look at verse 9. More obedience. Guess what he did? He went to church. That's obeying the scriptures, not forsaking the assembling together. And he prayed for those that aren't with us. David went to church. That's obedience to God's command. And look what he says in verse 9. I've preached righteousness in the great congregation and church. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord. And he says, thou knowest. You know, God. And verse 10 says, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. He has been preaching and telling people what God has done for him. He went to church and shared it, revealed it. That's why gathering together as a church is supposed to be. We don't come together to check off a bucket list. We don't come together to see what we can get. We come together to show and tell what God has done for us. Some come to preach. Some are called to come and teach. Some teach it, tell it, all of us live it. That's how we share it. We show up. We're together. We show what God's done in the way we live our lives. We tell of what He's done for us. People want to know, what's going on with you? Why do you have this great hope? You tell them, God did it all. He changed me. I'm not the same. And He's continuing to change me. God gives understanding to all of His children. And if you understand the things of God, do not bask in what you know. Do not bask in your knowledge, but fall on your face and give thanks to God who granted you the understanding and knowledge. Matthew 16, the very words of our Lord. Verse 13 says, when Jesus came, in Matthew 16, verse 13, Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He asked His disciples, saying, whom do men say that the Son of Man am? And they said, they began to answer Him, some say thou art John the Baptist, some say Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And Jesus speaks to them again in verse 15. He says, He saith unto them, but whom say you that I am? And Simon Peter answered, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And listen to this answer. Listen to this answer. This is who we are, okay? This is how we answer. Jesus answered and said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed that unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. What you know of God, what you understand of the gospel, had nothing to do with you. It was granted to you by God. And give Him all the glory and all thanks, because He alone is worthy of it. For me to take credit of is blasphemy. To say that I did something, that I came to some kind of knowledge of who He was on my own. I was the enemy. I was against Him. Rejecting Him. Part of that, none who seek after God, that's who we are. If you understand the gospel, flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you. It was the Father God in heaven who opened your ears that you might have understanding. Just like you did Lydia, the lady who, we've heard of Lydia with the purple, the of Thyatira. In Acts 16, verse 14, it says, among those listening was a woman named Lydia. She was listening to the preaching. She was a dealer of purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. And it says, the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. All glory to God. You and I did not come up with some type of goodness in our hearts and decide to follow God. God opened our ears. He gave us understanding. One of our members gave me this. I found this on Tim Challey's site. I'm going to read it. If you think you did something for your salvation, that it was up to you to make a decision, it was up to you to do anything, then we need to take the song Amazing Grace and change it to read this way. Arminian grace, how strange the sound. Salvation hinged on me. I was once lost, then I turned around. Was blind, then I chose to see. What grace it is that calls for choice, made from some good within me. That part that wills to heed God's voice proved stronger than my sin. Through many ardent gospel pleas, I sat with heart of stone, but then some hidden good in me propelled me toward my home. When we've been there 10,000 years because of what I've done, we've no less days to sing our praise than when we first began. How silly that is. And how arrogant and how prideful we are that we take credit even for the knowledge of God that we have. The only good in us is God. The only knowledge we have comes from God. And we want credit for it all. God forgive us. We said earlier that nobody ever remains the same when they hear God's word. To those whose ears have been open, they hear it positively. And they grow in their knowledge of God, they grow in grace. And those who reject God, their ears are not opened, and they react to the word of God with indifference and calluses form on their heart. First Corinthians 2 has a picture of this. In verse 14 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, the natural man, the lost man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritually judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. The natural man that's mentioned, or the carnal man, or the lost person, is referring to someone who's rejected God. They've heard the word of God, but without understanding, they are left unaffected and calloused over. We were to ask a question, do we love God? Do you love God? Do we even understand that? John 14, 15, God says, God himself in the flesh, Jesus Christ says, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. So with that being said, do we love God? Do we understand? If we understand, then there's obedience. Do we understand what that scripture means? If you love me, keep my commandments. Pray for God to give us understanding of that, that we might do that in obedience. 1 John 5 says, this we know, that we love the children of God when we love God and we keep his commandments. There's a life-changing effect that happens, and it is because God gives us understanding, which brings obedience and is reflected in the life of a believer. And it's nothing that we mustered up in ourselves. It was he that opened our ears. What a picture of God. And time runs out on us so quick on Wednesday evenings, doesn't it? Psalm 40. We'll be there again next week, I hope. Barring any unforeseen detours, we will come back and take a picture of God and look at some very, very good pictures of God that are presented even further from the psalmist. But our prayer tonight, as we consider and do the Selah moment of what this great psalm has presented to us, as we consider what God would say or what God has said to our hearts. Do you love God? Do you have understanding? Do you delight in doing the will of God? Do you know Him? I guess that's the biggest question. Let's pray.